Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Lamed Zayin. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him so very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf. We're holding toward the end of Lamed Vav and Beis. The Gemara is first going to discuss, we're going to bring a raya that ivy and that the trunk of a dekel tree are considered to be the min of a lulav. And the raya is going to be, we're talking about in terms of the eged of the lulav, that if the ain ogdenas lulav el bimino, you're still allowed to use the sieve and the ikra didikla. But the raya is going to be from Shitas Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to sukkah, because Rabbi Yehuda is an unusual shita when it comes to sukkah, that you need to only use dalid minim shebelulav for schach. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda holds, we're going to see that you're allowed to use siv ikra didikla. So apparently that's called the minim shebelulav. Rabbi Yehuda allows using erez for schach, the Gemara is going to say, because he holds that erez refers to hadas, so that's one of the dalad minim. And then the Gemara is going to tell us that Rabbah holds that a person cannot hold the lulav with a glove, nor on the binding itself, because that would constitute a chatzitza between the person's hand and the lulav. So a person has to leave a space in order to hold the lulav itself, and not over the binding of the lulav. On the other hand, Rava holds that you're allowed to hold the lulav on the binding, and you're allowed to hold the lulav with a cloth or with a glove. The Gemara is going to have two possibilities how Rava knows that lekicha al yidei davar acher shma lekicha, that even though you're holding it through something else, it's still called a lekicha. We're going to suggest maybe it's from the Agudas Ezov, and then the Gemara is going to say it's from the dropping of the ashes into the water when making the mechatas. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to record four different machlokos between Rabba and Rava relating to chatzitza issues. I mean, we're going to have a series of seven statements of Rabba. Four of them Rava disagrees with, and they relate to chatzitza. So there are four chatzitza issues that Rabba and Rava disagree about, and then there are three non-chatzitza related issues that Rabba comments on as well, about smelling a hadas, smelling an esrog, when it's attached to the tree, when it's not attached to the tree, which hand you hold the lulav in, which hand you hold the esrog in. And then the Mishnah on Beis is going to tell us that Beis Hillel holds that we waive the lulav, we do the nanuim when we say Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, and when we say Ana Hashem Oshiana, and Beis Shammai says, and also when we say Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. And the Gemara is going to say why it is that we're Moluch Umevi Mala Umorid, what that represents, two different possibilities of the method of doing Na'anuim. So let's begin. Again, we left off yesterday, but we're going to backtrack a little bit. We said that according to Rava, afilu b'siv, afilu b'ikra didikla, that you're allowed to use even a siv and an ikra didikla to bind the lulav, even though you're only allowed to be oge the lulav b'mino. Ain oge the lulav b'mino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah had said. So let's go into four lines into the Gemara. Va'amar Rava mina aminala. So Rava says, how do I know that this is true, that a siv and ikra didikla are called the mino of the lulav? So because the Braisa tells us basukos teshu. So we're gonna bring a raya from Rabbi Yehuda's shita about sukkah to the idea that siv and ikra didikla are considered the min of the lulav, because the pasuk says basukos teshu sukkah shall call davar divrei meir. So a meir holds that it can be made out of anything, not literally anything, meaning the schach has to be made of gidulei karka and has to be made of mekabel tuma, but like we said back on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we learned from Ve'ed Yalamina Aretz or from Psolus Garn Viakev, right, that has to be from Gedulei Karka and Deinu Mekabel Tuma. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Sukkah Nohages Ela B'dal Minim Shebelulav. Rabbi Yehuda is much more limiting, that you're only allowed to use the Dal Minim Shebelulav for the mitzvah of Sukkah. V'adin Nosein, and he says, and I'll tell you a simple Kal V'chomer. Lulav, which is so limited in the first place, you only do it during the daytime and not during the nighttime. And yet we're still so strict that you can only use the dalad minim. So sukkah shenohages b'leilus kabiyamim, ein odin shelotei al barbas minim. So sukkah, which is knowing throughout the day of sukkah, during the daytime, during the nighttime, for sure you should only be allowed to use the dalad minim. So amar lo, they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, kol din shatadon tchilas lachmer v'sof lahakel, ein odin.
that while that might sound like a reasonable Kal V'chomer, anytime you have a Kal V'chomer where you're going to try to use the Kal V'chomer to be Machmir, that's the function of a Kal V'chomer, to teach a new Chumrah, but it's going to lead you to a Kula, then it's an invalid Kal V'chomer. A Kal V'chomer that in principle is trying to be Machmir, but ultimately will lead to a Kula as well, is an invalid Kal V'chomer. How is this going to lead to a Kula? It's a Gevaldik Chumrah that you're only allowed to use the Dalet Minim for Schach. Yeah, but what happens if you go to the market, you go to the Sukkah Depot or whatever to buy your Schach, and they're all out of Dalet Minim? Then what are you going to do? So Lo Matza Abras Minim Ye Yoshev Batel. If you don't find Dalet Minim, they'll say, sorry, we don't have a Sukkah for you. So you can say, Anos Rachman Apatre, I don't have a Mitzvah of Sukkah, I can't fulfill the Mitzvah of Sukkah this year. So that's going to be a tremendous Kula. You're going to end up not eating, not sleeping in a Sukkah. Torah Amra, but the Torah says, Basukkah Stei Shushav Yamim, Sukkah Shal Kal Davar. And the Torah implies that you got to sit in the Sukkah regardless, that it could be made out of anything, and you sit in Sukkah. And not only that, Bechein Be'ezra Omer, we find in Sefer Ezra, it seems to indicate that you don't need to have a sukkah made from Dalet Minim Shabalulav, because Ezra told the returnees from Babel, Tzu'ar ve'avi v'alei zayis v'alei eitz shemen v'alei hadas v'alei tamarim v'alei eitz avos, and what's the gears of change? La'asos sukos kakosuv. That you should go, he tells them, and gather in whatever wood you can find. Go take from hadas and from zayis and eitz shemen, whatever, tamar, whatever you can find, and make sukkos. So it sounds like Ezra was instructing them to make sukkos out of whatever, not only the Dalet Minim Shabalulav. So how's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond to that? Rabbi Yehuda holds you can only use the Dalet Minim Shabalulav. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Hani L'Defanos. Rabbi Yehuda would say that Ezra was giving instructions on those items that were on Ezra's list that are not among the Dalet Minim Shabalulav. He's suggesting to use for Defanos. But Ali Hadas, Ali Tamarim, Ali Eitzavos, L'Schach. When he says Ali Hadas and Ali Tamarim and Ali Eitzavos, that's a reference to the Schach, because those are in fact from the Dalet Minim Shabalulav. So bottom line is, we see from that conversation that Rabbi Yehuda holds you can only use Dalet Minim Shabalulav for Schach. Utnan, and the Mishnah says, Mesachim b'nesarim de Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda holds you could be Mesachich b'nesarim. Alma siv ikra didikra mina delavahu. So bottom line is, you see that siv and ikra didikra are minim of the lulav. They're considered to be part of the lulav. The Rashi points out in Dibur of Rabbi Yehuda Savar Hainu Lefanos Vali Azaz Ramada Tzavas Soschach Utam Sachem Nesarim Velogar Sin Shal Erez Unihinami Dahani Nesarim Me'echad Mital Minim Me'miu Me'ikra Didikla Ninu. When we talk about Nesarim, we're talking about something that does come from a palm tree, but it's from the Ikra Didikla. So that's the Raya. Alma Rabbi Yehuda Siv V'Ikra Didikla K'sher In Liagdo Shalulav. It must be that he holds that it's kosher to be ma'agid lulav with these things. Otherwise, you'd consider it to be some other mint. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're only allowed to use that which is kosher for lulav for your schach. So it must be that this is considered mina de lulavu, that it's considered the min of the lulav, and that's why you're allowed to be ma'agid lulav with it, and that's why you're allowed to use it for schach as well. So shema mina. So that's how Rava learns that siv and ikra Dikla are considered, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are considered to be the min of the lulav, and you're allowed to bind your lulav with it. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that you're only allowed to use the Dalet Minim Shabalulav, Tosus points out that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you still can't use the Davar HaMakabal Tuma, so meaning Rabbi Yehuda is not being more makel in any which way. He's saying, in addition to Gidula Karka and Eina Makabal Tuma, you also have another limiting factor that can only come from Dalet Minim Shabalulav, and therefore, you're not allowed to use dates that grow on a date palm and just use the dates themselves as your schach, because that's peros, and peros are mekabel tuma. So the Kabbalah Tamarim says, well, wait a second, then why does he say that you could use dalet minim shabalulav, mesachim b'dalet minim shabalulav? One of the dalet minim is an esrog. An esrog is a pre. An esrog is just a fruit. So if you're not allowed to use the davar mekabel tuma, he should have said me gimel minim shabahoshana, right? We call the lulav bundle with the adas v'nerav as a hoshana. So say the gimel minim shabahoshana. Why does he say the Dalet Minim Shabalulav? So the Kapos Tamarim suggests that since the Esrog has an Ukatz, and that's from the Eitz, so the and the Esrog has to have an Ukatz, or it has to have a Pitim, or it has parts to it that are not actually part of the fruit, that if it were missing those parts, it would either be a Psul or a lack of Hidur in the Esrog, so it's certainly considered part of the Esrog, so maybe that's what it means. If you picked off a bunch of stems of Esrogim and somehow made Tzchach out of that, that's what it means, the saying that you can use the min of the Esrog for Tzchach. The Aruch Lener says that it's dachuk to say that the Eitz is considered the min of the Esrog, because you're not Yotze the mitzvah with the Eitz, or dafka with the Pri, even though the Ikra Dikla is considered the min of the Lulav, that's because the Lulav, the mitzvah is be'etz, so this is a portion of the Eitz as well, but by the Esrog, the mitzvah is not the Eitz at all. And he says, even that which says a Peres Dekel are roi for Schach, if there, had they not been Mekabal Tumah, they would have been roi for Schach, that's only because the Torah says Kapas Tamarim, so it means you take even the, which sounds like even the Tamarim, even the dates themselves, like Hadas, that the Anavim on the Hadas would sound like they should be kosher. So Peres Dekel are considered a min of the Dekel, a min of Kapas Tamarim, but the Eitz of the Esrog doesn't seem at all to be part of the description of what the Torah says. Torah says pre Eitz Hadar, so it sounds like it's got to be the pre. So it's Aruch Lener says still difficult to understand why it says Dalin Minim Shebelulav. So you suggest that according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you can use an Esrog that's not Huchshar LeKabel Tumah. Maybe somebody that's saying MeKabel Tumah doesn't just mean that it could never be MeKabel Tumah, or maybe an Esrog that's smaller than a Kebetza. If you hold that Ochel Pachos MeKebetza is not MeKabel Tumah, there's Machlokas Rishonim throughout Shas, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether that we know that that which is Pachos MeKebetza cannot transmit Tumas Ochlin to something else. But what about being Mekabel Tumah, becoming Tameh? So it's a machlokas whether Ochel Pachos MeKebetza could be Mekabel Tumah. So if you assume that it cannot be Mekabel Tumah, maybe we're talking about a very tiny Esrog. And even though you can't be Yotze Yuchiv with it, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shear of an Esrog is a Kebetza, but that's just because it's Lo Gamar Pri. It's not, you know, but it's still certainly the min of the Esrog. So anyway, so that's the discussion as far as Rabbi Yehuda's unique Shita over here is concerned. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Umi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Arbaas Minin in Midi Achrin Lo. Does is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda holds you're only allowed to use the Dal Minim Shabalulav for your schach, and you're not allowed to use anything else? Vatanya, but didn't we have a brisa back on Daf Yudalid that Sicha bin Sarim Shel Erez Sheish ben Dalit Tvachim Divrei Kol Psula, that if you use boards, flat boards made out of cedar wood, so then if it's Dalit Tvachim, if it's four Tvachim, it's going to be Pasul. But Ein behen Dalit Tvachim, if it's less than four Tvachim, Rameir Posel Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be Kasher, so it could be made out of Erez wood. You just have to be careful that it not be a board that's more than four tefachim. Remember, we had a machlokas amorayim back then. What the machlokas tanaim was about? Was the machlokas tanaim only when it's more than four tefachim, or is the machlokas tanaim when it's between three and four tefachim? But bottom line is, you see that as a material, it's kosher to use for schach. Cedar wood as a material is perfectly fine for schach. And we also pointed out that Rameir's moda that if there's exactly the same amount of space in between one board and the next, you could fill that space with kasher schach, and it's going to be kasher. The Gemara back there questioned why that would be the case, meaning it would seem to be it's exactly 50-50, and you need more schach kasher than schach pasul. So the Gemara said it must be that there's room to stick in the kasher schach, that it leaves some wiggle room to stick it in, so it's a little more than 50%, or that you're running the kasher schach if the nesarim are running widthwise, you're running the kasher schach lengthwise, so it turns out to be a little bit more than 50% because it's a little bit of an overhang. So that's what the Gemara said back then. But the bottom line is, you see that Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to use erez for schach, and Rabbi Yehuda is apparently telling us that you're only allowed to use dal minim shabalulav. So it says Gemara, my erez hadas. Yeah, but the word erez means hadas over here. That it's one of the type of arazim is a hadas. Kederab barav huna, tam rab barav huna, amri beirav, asara mina arazmein, shremar, There are 10 different types of arazim, and it's based on the pasuk that says etin bamidbar erez sheet of ahadah. So the pasuk continues ve'et shemen asim barav brosh titar v'sashu yachtav. So you see from the pasuk that there are 10 different types of arazim, and one of them is ahadah. So that's a type of erez, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to when he says that you have boards made out of erez. It means made out of that which is qualifies as ahadah. Then in the Mishnah, after Rabbi Yehuda said that ein ogdin asulul avel b'mino, Rabbi Meir said, "Nah, even b'chut b'mishicha, even with like a linen thread, you're allowed to bind the lulav together." So Tanya, we have a brisa that elaborates, tells us a little bit more than the Mishnah said. That Rabbi Meir ma'isa b'yakira Yerushalayim, that the chashav people of Yerushalayim sheyu ogdin asulvein b'gimonio shel zahav, they use gold to bind their lulav together. So they said to him, Misham Raya, that's a Raya, that you're allowed to be Ogid Lulav with another min. Bimino Ayogdinosamilamata. Nah, they were Ogid Bimino underneath that gold. The gold was just decorative after the Eged, but the Eged itself was made of the Minim Shebelulav. So, not Misham Raya, Misham Raya, to the contrary, they're the Raya that you need to be Ma'agid the Lulav Bimino, because that's what they were doing. You only saw the gold on the outside, but underneath that gold, they actually were ma'agid b'minos. So that's exactly my raya that you need the egged of the lulav. So that's what the brisa says. Now, there's nothing else to the brisa. Now we're going to continue with seven statements of Rabbah. The brisa is over. It's a little bit surprising because normally a brisa elaborates and it says something that the Mishnah did not already teach us. If you look back at the Mishnah says Rabbi Meir makes his point by saying, Amar Meir, Maisa ba Anshei Yerushalayim, Shoyog der Sulevein be Gimon Yashal Zav, that the Anshei Yerushalayim used to use Gimon Yashal Zav. Amar lo, Bimino Ayog der Osamilamata. What did the Brisa add? The Brisa didn't say anything. So if you look carefully, there are two changes from the Mishnah to the Brisa. You have to figure out if either of them makes a difference. But one of them must make a difference, otherwise there's no sense in quoting the Brisa. One is the Anshei Yerushalayim became Yakira Yerushalayim, right? In the Mishnah was Anshei Yerushalayim, in the Brisa was Yakira Yerushalayim, and the other is that in the Brisa they more forcefully worded the response, not just saying Bimino Yogdenosam Ilamata, but Misham Raya Bimino Yogdenosam Ilamata. So what is the word Misham Raya? That from there it's a Raya, from the way the men of Yerushalayim used to be Ma'agid Lulav, that's a Raya. What does that add that the Mishnah didn't already say? So the couple's tomorrow, he says that the Brisa emphasizes that it was Yakira Yerushalayim to tell me that these were very wealthy people in Yerushalayim that were doing this. It wasn't just Yakira means the people in the high social circles. So in that Stam Anshei Yerushalayim, like the Mishnah says. So we see Derech Eretz that each one was Mevaziz Mamono. Each one spent a lot of money to be able to make the mitzvah as nice as possible. So that's something that everyone on their level would spend for the mitzvah. But it has nothing to do with really the core point over here that we're trying to make as far as being ma'agid lulav b'min with b'mino. It's just adding another point that if you can afford it, try to spend the money on beautifying your lulav. Furthermore, Kapusvarm says, even though there was only the Ashirim and it wasn't the minhag of everybody else, but the Brisa is Mechadesh that even from the Maisa of Yechidim you could bring a Raya. And you don't say that, oh, it's just Yechidim, they must have done Shalom Kedin, or they must have been doing Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. So from the Mishnah, it says Anshei Yerushalayim, so I thought we're bringing a Raya from what everybody did. So that's what the Gemara is adding. From the Gemara, you see, from the Brisa, you see that it's not just that it wasn't everybody, it was only the Yekira Yerushalayim, and that's still good enough to bring a raya, right? It's still Misham Raya, even though it's only a few people. The Kabbalah Samarim adds that the Brisa not only adds that it's Yakir Yerushalayim, but that it's Misham Raya, that the Yakir Yerushalayim were the ones that were made, that they were Ogeid B'mino Me'lamata. So therefore, it's a raya, meaning from the fact that they did that, that becomes the greatest raya, because these were people who were very wealthy. And since they were very wealthy, I would understand if people who are not as wealthy would be Ogeid B'mino Mata with something cheap, and then to decorate it on the outside, they would have gold. But the Akira Yerushalayim should have had gold through and through. What are they going to get, silver plated? Right? Why did they go through and through? It should be with gold. Why do they have it beneath with minan? It must be that that's a halacha, that they had to be ma'agid b'minan. So that's why the Gemara had the two changes in the Braisa relate to each other. That because it's the Akira Yerushalayim, that's why we emphasize misham raya, that from them it's the greatest raya, because they really could have done gold through and through since there was such wealthy people. So anyway, now we move on to seven different statements of Rabba. Four of them relate to Chatzitza, and three of them do not. Samalu Rabba Lahanu Megadli Yoshan de Beresh Kalusa. Rabba used to tell the people who would grow the Oshanas by the Beresh Kalusa, ki gadlisu Oshan de Beresh Kalusa, shayr bebeisyan kechidol tavi chatzitza. That when you would put together the Oshanas, the Oshana means the lulav, the adasim, and the aravos together, you should leave a handle at the bottom so that it not be a chatzitza. Meaning, if you're holding it by the binding, so then you're not holding the lulav directly, you're not holding the dalaminim directly, and we'd rather not have a chatzitza, so you should leave a little bit of the lulav protruding, like a tefach of the lulav protruding underneath where it's bound together, so that it shouldn't be chatzitza. Rava Amar, Rava says, nah, kolana oso eino chotzitz. Anytime you're doing something for beauty purposes, it's not a chatzitza. So Rashi explains that Rava holds like the Rabbanan, that lulav ain't tzarech eged, so the eged is not part of the mitzvah. So when you're holding the lulav and the eged, it's going to be a chatzitza because it's not really part of the mitzvah. Tosus understands that Rava holds that even min b'mino is chotzitz. And therefore, even though you're being ma'aged with the min of the lulav, it's still going to be a chatzitza. That Rabba must be working with the assumption that min b'mino is in fact a chatzitza, which we don't pass now. We assume min b'mino is eino chotzeitz. Furthermore, Tosfos writes, it could be that Rabba's mistapek whether min b'mino is chotzeitz or not, and misafek he would always advise them to leave a little bit beneath the level of the eged. The Aruch Haner raises the question that if the basis of Rabba is really a suffix, so why did he aser, we're going to see soon, to stuff the lulav into the agudas haoshana, lest some of the leaves come off and it's going to be chatzitza. That lechor would only be a sfeksek. I mean, one of Rabba's statements is going to be that if you have the hadasim and aravos together in a bundle, don't stick the lulav in, because that sticking the lulav in might detach some of the leaves of the hadasim and the aravos. They're going to get in between, and then they're going to be a chatzitza. Well, wait a second. If Rabba's whole basis, like Tosfos says, is only a suffix to begin with, that Rabba's not sure is min b'mino a chatzitza or is min b'mino not a chatzitza, so his whole din is only a suffix, so now it's going to turn into a svek sveka. First of all, I don't know any leaves are going to come off. The leaves might stay intact. And even if they do come off, it's only a suffix whether it's going to be a problem or not. So that's what the Aruch Haner raises the kasha on Tosfos. How can you say Rabba's whole din is based on the suffix if in fact some of the other dinim that Rabba says would turn into a svek sveka and therefore should not be a problem? You know, we have such a similar idea in Maseches Chulin, whether the vlad, the first vlad, patrus rechamimo when it's wrapped in when it doesn't actually touch the sides of the rechem. So over there also, that's what Tos points out. Over there also, it's a din of suffik. It's not a din of vadai. But Rava disagreed. Rava said, "Kalina oso eino chotitz." Why is that? Why is anything that's done for beauty purposes, anything that makes it look nicer, is not a chatzitza? So some of the Rishonim suggest, the Ritva suggests, the Ran suggests, because whenever it's lina oso, it becomes bottled to the lulav. So it's as if you're taking the lulav directly, because it's a part of the lulav when it's lina oso. Other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim, the Rimi Lunil, and others suggest that l'tzorach mitzvah, it's lina oso l'tzorach mitzvah, so because there's a mitzvah of zekeli vanveyu, and therefore it's not going to be chatzitza, because even though it's not part of the lulav, but it's considered the l'tzorach mitzvah, since it's a fulfillment of zekeli vanveyu. Problem is, the Meiri points out that in Maseches Rosh Hashanah we say that if it's tzipo zav, if you take the shofar and you line it with gold, it is a chatzitza, even though l'chora the gold makes the shofar nicer. So how can you say kol na'oso eino chotzeitz? And over there we say that if you put gold on the shofar, that it is going to be a chatzitza. So the Meiri suggests that over there the problem is that you need kol shofar and not a kol that comes as a result of the zahav. So over there, it's going to be a problem because it's going to alter the kol a little bit. Avni Nezer writes in the tshuva that kol na'oso helps only with that it shouldn't be chatzitza, but it's not considered that you're nogeya mamish, meaning there are two dinim. Sometimes there's a din that you have to be, that there's a requirement to being nogeya, that you're touching the item, and sometimes there's just a psul of not having chatzitza. By lulav, you just can't have a chatzitza, but there's no din that you have to be nogeya the lulav. By shofar, there's din that you have to be nogeya the shofar, they have to be touching the shofar. So then it also makes it that it's not a psul of chatzitza, but it doesn't make it that b'metzius you're being nogeya. You're still not being nogeya. That's why when it comes to the shofar, says the Avnei Nezer, you can having the gold there is a problem, even though it beautifies the shofar. Yet when it comes to the lulav, it's not going to be a chatzitza. Okay, all of that was the first statement of Rabba. Statement number two of Rabba: V'amar Rabba lo linkit in shoshana besudra debina l'kichatama v'leka. A person shouldn't take his lulav bundle in a cloth, meaning in a glove, because you need a lekichatama and you don't have a lekichatama in that way. Rava melekicha de davaracher shma lekicha, and Rava says, no, you could hold something al yedei davaracher. That's still a valid lekicha, even though you're holding it with a cloth, you're holding it with a glove. Tosus writes that you can't say that there's a chatzitza over here. That it's a separate issue. First statement of Rabbah was about chatzitza. Now we're not talking about chatzitza, we're talking about l'kichatama. Sounds like it's not a chatzitza issue, it's a different issue. So Tos says, because it's not chatzitza, since it's wrapped around your hand, it's not wrapped around the lulav. You don't have a cloth wrapped around the lulav, the cloth is wrapped around your hand. That would not be, that would not constitute a chatzitza, so you have to come up with a different reason of l'kichatama. Whereas the eged was wrapped around the lulav, and that was a chatzitza issue. So that's what Tosus points out. The Tosus also discusses how this relates to the Gemara we had in Maseches Pesachim of what was it, Pinchas Ish Bar Kai was his name, the fellow who used to wear gloves when he did the avoda, and the Chachamim were very, very unhappy with him because he would wear gloves as if to say, I don't want to get my hands dirty with the avoda. So that was something that was looked down upon. But anyway, Amar Rava Mina Amina Lo Dilekicha Yedei Davaracher Shema Lekicha. Rava says, how do I know that Lekicha Yedei Davaracher is considered a valid Lekicha? So two possibilities. Number one, the Tanan, Ezov Kotzer, Mishapko Bechutu Bekush V'tovu L'malu V'ochiz Be'ezov V'maze, that they used to bring the Mechatas, they would produce a bunch of Mechatas, and they would bring it to different communities. They would have to do, people were becoming Tami Meis everywhere. So every community, I guess, you know, in all the shuls next to the matzahs for the Erev Chatzeros, they had a tube of Mechatas. And the tube of Mechatas, they would have to sprinkle, they would have to dip the Ezov into the tube of Mechatas and then sprinkle it on the person. But sometimes when it was running low, so the Ezov didn't reach all the way to the bottom of the tube, so it wouldn't get wet from sticking it in. So they needed to elongate the Ezov. So what they would do is they would attach something. They would mesapko b'chut. They would attach a string to the end of it so it could reach deeper down into the tube. So amai v'lokach v'tavol amarachmana. But doesn't the pasuk say v'lokach v'tavol? So you have to be lokach the Ezov and the tavol b'mayim at the time of the tavi. It needs to be a lekicha, but you're not holding it. You're holding the string that it's attached to, or the needle that's attached to the end that of the Ezov. So lav shmamino lekicha de davarach shma lekicha. Oh, so it must be that even though you're not holding it directly, lekicha de davaracher is also called the lekicha. So that's Rava's raya that lekicha de davaracher counts. Says Gemara, that's not a great raya. Mimai dilma shayni yasim kibin the chavrei kegufe dam. Maybe over there it's different because it's attached, or whenever something is fully attached, it becomes a part of the item. So elamehacha. So Rava says, no, I have a different source for the idea that lekicha de davaracher is shma lekicha. Nafal mishofer sushukas puzzle. If let's say the you have to put the ashes of the paraduma into the water, let's say the ashes fell into the water, then it's puzzle. Hayipilu hu kasher. But it sounds like if you take the ashes in the kli and you empty out holding the kli, not holding the ashes themselves, not sticking your hands in the kli and dropping the ashes with your own hands, but emptying out the kli, it sounds like it's going to be kasher. Amai v'lokach v'nasan amarachmana. But doesn't it say v'lokach v'nasan? So don't you need lekicha b'shas nesina? and over here you don't have a lekicha. Elav shemino lekicha, I did the rak shemal lekicha. So it must be that you do have a lekicha, because when you're holding something, when you're holding the ashes, even using the kli that they're in and not touching them directly, that's apparently still called a lekicha. Good. So that was all machlokas number two between Rabba and Rava. Can you have a lekicha al yedei davar acher? Now statement number three of Rabba that Rava is also going to disagree with. V'amar Rabba lolodetin shulava. That when you have your bundle together with the adas and the ravas, don't stick the lulav in, because it might detach some of the leaves, and then those leaves are going to become a chatzitza. V'rava amar min b'mino eino chatzitza. And Rava says, I'm not concerned about that. Min b'mino is not going to be a chatzitza, and whatever leaves come off are part of the min of the dalin minim. Statement number four of Rava that Rava disagrees with. V'amar Rava lo ligus inish lulava b'hoshana dim. That don't snip the bottom of the lulav when it's already in the lulav bundle, because some of the side leaves are no longer going to be attached when you cut it at the bottom, because at the bottom is where it's all the leaves are attached, so some of the leaves are no longer going to be attached, and that's going to be chatzitza. And again, Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, min b'mino eino chatzitza, min b'mino, it's not going to be a chatzitza problem. So those are the four statements of Rava that Rava disagreed with. Now Rava is going to make three more statements without Rava disagreeing. V'yama Rava, hadas shal mitzvah asul ariach bo. That you're not allowed to smell your hadasim. Esrog shal mitzvah mutal ariach bo. But you are allowed to smell your esrog shal mitzvah. My taima, hadas to l'recha kai ki aksia me'recha aksia. Hadas, which primary function is to serve as something that smells nice. So when you're hooked to the mitzvah, so when you designate it for the mitzvah, you are designating it not to use for its normal use, to only use it for the mitzvah. So you're designating not to use it for smelling. But esrog v'achilakai, esrog, which is meant to be eaten, ki aksia me'achilaksia. When you designate it for the mitzvah and not to be used for its normal use, you're designating not to use it for achila, but you're still allowed to smell the asrog. The Michtam quotes that there are those that hold that if you're masna on the hadas, you make a tanai originally, that it's eino bodele menu milariach bo, that you're not going to refrain from smelling it, then it's going to be mutter to smell even the hadas. See, even though by noy sukkah, the Gemara says in Beitza that it's only because it's not the ikra mitzvah a tanai helps, meaning you're allowed to do that with noy sukkah. If you have sukkah decorations, used to be actual fruits, right? It wasn't just plastic fruits, they had actual fruits, so they would sometimes want to use them in middle of sukkahs. So Gemara says, if you say eini bodele menu, called Shiva, that I'm not refraining from using these fruits, so then they don't have a muksa status. So the Gemara Maseches Beitza says, yeah, that works because they're not really the mitzvah. They're only the noy mitzvah. But by a hadashal mitzvah, you don't have that heter. It is the actual mitzvah, but says the Michtam, you can be mechalik. That by atzei sukkah itself, a tanai doesn't help to be able to use them, because if you destroy the sukkah, you're mevatel the mitzvah entirely. But if you were to smell the hadas, nothing happens to the mitzvah. You just smell the hadas. So that's why by sukkah we're more machmir, that you're not allowed to make a tanai on the atzei sukkah, that any bodele menu that I'm going to use the atzei sukkah. You're only allowed to make a tanai on the decorations of the sukkah. But when it comes to the hadas, you're going to allow to make a tanai on the mitzvah itself, because the usage of the hadas is not going to ruin the mitzvah in any which way. The Ritva quotes those that hold that even a hadas that's put in the schach of the sukkah, you're not allowed to smell because it's huksa l'mitzvaso. So you're not allowed to smell the hadasim that are in the schach. But he quotes from the Ra'ah that rejects the shita and holds that only hadas shel mitzvah that's taken together with the lulav is asal ariach bo, because you're maksal mitzvah so from smelling it, because it's you can't be mekayim the mitzvah in any other way. But a hadash al sukkah, you're not maksa in such a way, because you could be mesakech with other eitzim, and you could use and you chose to use hadas for schach and treat it like it's any other eitz ba'alma. So you're only being maksa not to use it for other purposes. You're not being maksa not to smell from it, because you really could have used any other wood. So that's how the Ra'ah disagrees with those Shomrim that the Ritva quotes. Vi Amar Rabba, now statement number one, we have to statement number six of Rabba. Vi Amar Rabba, Hadas B'Mechubar Mutal L'Riachbo. When the Hadas is still attached to the ground, you're allowed to smell from it. I mean, you're obviously not using it for the mitzvah. It's Mechubar L'Kar. We're just saying, you're allowed to smell from it on Shabbos and Yantiv. Esrog B'Mechubar, also L'Riachbo. But an Esrog that's still attached to the ground, you're not allowed to smell. My Taima, Hadas L'Riach HaYishar L'Oasi L'Migziyeh, where a Hadas' whole purpose is to smell from it. So if I could smell it even when it's attached to the ground, I'm not going to come to detach it from the ground because I can smell it anyway. The way it is perfectly fine. But Esrog D'L'Achilakai, Esrog, which primary purpose is to eat it, Yishar L'Oasi L'Migziyeh, if you allow me to smell it, then I might come to pull it off of the tree and to eat it as well. So that's why they made an Issur Midrabanan that you're not allowed to smell the Esrog when it's attached to the ground. And then the final statement of Rabba, V'yama Rabba, Lulav v'yamin v'esrog v'smol, the lulav should be in your right hand, the esrog should be in your left hand. My taima, why the lulav in the right, the esrog in the left? Hani tvasa mitzvah v'hai chada mitzvah. Three mitzvahs in one hand, one mitzvah in the other hand. Why is it that when we say the bracha, the nusach of the bracha is al netilas lulav? Why not al netilas esrog? Well, why is it tafka al netilas lulav? Says Gemara, holo gavoa mikulan, since it protrudes the highest of all of them. So says Gemara, yeah, but you could change that. Just go like this, you know, hold the esrog higher, and then the esrog will stick out higher than the rest of them. So Tosa says he doesn't understand. Why don't we just say no? But it's naturally gavoa mikulan, meaning it's taller. The esrog is not four tefachim high. The lulav is four tefachim high. So Tosas is bothered. Why did the Gemara think of that? But the Gemara didn't for whatever reason. So it says Gemara Malay hold b'mino gavoa mikulan. Since in its min it's higher than the other three. Not the shiura but b'mino, meaning the way it naturally grows, not the minimum size. Right? Tosas said that we should have said the minimum size. The shiur is gavoa mikulan. But the Gemara says no. But the natural way it grows is gavah mikulan. The Ra'ah quotes Yesh Mefarshim that when we say hol gavah mikulan, it means the tree that the lulav grows on is a taller tree than the tree that the others grow on. That's its chashivus. The pashtus is not that way, right? The pashtus is that the lulav itself is gavah mikulan, meaning even after it's detached from the tree, having nothing to do with date trees. But palm trees are very, very tall, so that's what the possibility is. That's what the Ra'ah quotes from Yesh Mefarshim. Now, the idea that the lulav is b'yamin and the esrog is b'smol is not just happenstance over here. I mean, the Magen Avraham raises the question: what does the Gemara say? That why do I have the lulav b'yamin? Because there are three mitzvahs. The esrog b'smol, it's only one. It's only one of the four. So Magen Avraham in Simtaf Reish Nun Aleph raises the question: why do we need such a reason? Anytime you make a bracha, you always have to hold that which you're making a bracha on in your right hand. So since you're going to say a bracha on the lulav, because it's al netilas lulav, meaning that's the nusach of the bracha, it's al netilas lulav, that's why it's got to be in your right hand. So why do I need that? Because it's three mitzvahs versus one mitzvah. Anyway, it's got to be in your right hand. Midine brachos. So Magen Avraham suggests that Rav is trying to tell me that anytime you take a lulav, even when you're not saying a bracha, meaning you pick up the lulav again by Hoshanos, so you already said the bracha earlier. So why are you picking up, especially if you put the lulav down in between, right? If you do the Hoshanos after Musaf, so you pick up the lulav again after the Hoshanos, so you're not going to say a bracha then, and even then you're supposed to do it b'yamin. So it must be because every time you pick up the lulav, it's got to be b'yamin because of the three mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara is adding beyond Hilchos Brachos. And that's what Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Mishnah Berurah write, that when, regardless, whenever you pick up the lulav, it's always got to be lulav b'yamin and esrog b'smol. The Achronim point out that there's a medrash this way as well. The Rishonim quote a medrash in the name of the Yerushalmi, that Ketzer Seder Akafa. How do you do the Akafos? Kol Yisrael Gedolim Uktanim, take the Luvayim B'yadeim Hayimanis, Esrogeim B'yadeim Asmalis, and they walk Akafa Achas. And on Osayom, on Hoshana Rabbah, they go Sheva Akafos. So you see that the way it's described, Zulav B'yamin, Esrog B'smol. So that's the question, does it really have to be that way? Because it's very difficult to balance a Machzor when you have Zulav B'yamin, Esrog B'smol. Very often it's much easier to hold them both in one hand and hold the Machzor in the other hand, if you got to know what you're saying with the Hoshanos, right? You see all sorts of clever contraptions that people put together. They stick some Velcro onto the guy in front of them and put it on his back to read it off or something like that. You know, but or cradling in the arms, but that's certainly the ideal way to carry the lulav is lulav yamin ve'esrog v'smol that the Gemara says. Okay, so says the Mishnah. We already learned back on Daf Lamed Dalet that the esrog is supposed to be separate from the lulav. It's not bound together with it. So it's supposed to be somewhat separate. By holding it in the left hand, we make it separate. So ve'echano yiminan, says the Mishnah. Where would they do the nanum? So ba'odul Hashem tchila v'sof. Ba'ana Hashem oshia na divrei beis hillel. Beis hillel says ve'hodul Hashem and ve'ana Hashem oshia na. Ve'shamay omr af ba'ana Hashem hatzlichana. Ve'shamay holds that they do nanum even by ana Hashem hatzlichana. Amr Rabbi Kiva tzofa yisiv ram gamliyav Rabbi Shua shekala amay yiminan nisulvein ve'hem lo nanu el ba'ana Hashem oshia na. So I saw by ram gamliyav Rabbi Shua everybody else was shaking the lulav, but they would only do it by ana Hashem oshia na. So says Gemara, where did this Mishnah come from? Nanua mandakar shemek. Who said anything about nanuim? Who said there even is a chiyuv of nanuim? That all of a sudden we're talking about when, how? Well, there's no when and how. Who told us anything about nanuim? So it says Mar Hasam Kai. We're going on the previous Mishnah where it said kalulav sheish bo shlosh tefachim kidei l'nanea bo kasher. We said that a lulav that's three tefachim in order to be minanea is kasher. So the kamar hechel minanim. So the Mishnah naturally picks up from that. Oh yeah, they're nanuim. When do we do that? So that's why we mentioned the nanuim. The Mishnah explains how there would be nanuim within the Seder of Halal. Tosus points out that the Mitzvah of nanuim is also when you take the lulav to be mevarich on it, even though it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, but we see later on in Daf Mem Beis that a katan yodel nanea is chayev belulav. So clearly means that yodel nanea at the time that he's mevarich. That's what it means to be minanea, because a katan is not yodel likro as a halal. Likro as a halal would mean he knows it by heart, right? So a katan is not yodel likro as a halal. So yodel nanea is chayev belulav must mean that he's yodel nanea b'shas bracha. So even though the Mishnah never identifies the shas bracha as a time of nanuim, that's what Tosus points out, that it must be that it is a time of nanuim. And lulav is not the only thing that requires nanuim. The shtei alechem and the kivsei atzeres also requires some movement of waving it around. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with that, with the waving around of the karbanos and why it is that we wave in all four directions. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. And for the Zoomers, I'm going to be away next week. Alicia will be giving the shiur at this time. Stay tuned to the WhatsApp group if I'm going to be giving shiur otherwise. I'm not sure yet. Okay.